Hey everyone, Matt here, Anything and Everything Podcast. Thought I'd take today to describe the experience that I had recently when I test drove the Tesla Model S P100D, tell you about my experience, things I liked about it, maybe some things that I didn't like or thought they could improve upon. Hope you take the time to listen. So upon approaching the vehicle, it recognizes you via key fob. It will unlock the door for you. It has a recessed handle, so you press on the handle and it comes out of the door, and the door will open when you pull. Sort of just makes it flush when you're not entering and exiting the vehicle. Gives it a more streamlined look on the outside. Getting inside the vehicle, obviously everything is very electronic. There's a large electronic screen near the center console area that contains both the maps function, it has integrated Google Maps, and that's also the vehicle's central control station. So you control a lot of aspects of the vehicle from this electronic screen. One thing that's very obvious is the lack of mechanical gauges. So there's no old school muscle car style mechanical gauges. There's no mechanical tach, nothing like that. There's an electronic screen in front of the driver that projects whatever information you want on there. So you can kind of customize the type of information that you have. You can change it to show speed. You can show the vehicle as it's driving down the road. It'll create an electronic model of the vehicle, and it'll show you the road as you're driving on it. I'll talk about that a little more when I talk about the autopilot function of the vehicle. I probably spent a good 10 minutes with the salesperson, kind of getting acquainted with the electronic controls of the vehicle. So there's a little bit of a learning curve, but it wasn't that hard to get used to. However, to really become familiar with the electronic control console on the vehicle would probably take at least a few days of driving and just messing around with the control console to get completely comfortable. Another thing just about the Tesla dealership in general, they're very friendly. You make an appointment online to test drive a vehicle at a nearby Tesla dealership. You choose the time. Only requirement is that you have a valid driver's license. The salesmen don't work on commission, so you don't feel very pressured to buy. They're not really pressuring you into buying. They're more interested in you having a good experience with the test drive and then going, talking to your friends and family, posting about it on social media, creating a buzz about your experience with the vehicle. Because right now, Tesla relies very heavily on word of mouth for advertising the brand. Obviously, there's no conventional transmission on the vehicle, so noticeably absent was any type of shifting mechanism whatsoever. I drive a manual transmission vehicle. Even if you drive an automatic transmission vehicle, you'll notice a complete absence of any type of thing that would put the car into park, into drive, anything like that. Obviously, there's a mechanism for putting the car into reverse, but that is about it. Now, of course, the thing that everyone wants to know about is, what did I think about the power? Well, I'm a motorcyclist. I ride a 600cc Super Sport, so it's going to take a pretty powerful car to impress me, and I will say that the P100D impressed me. The dealer wasn't able to say exactly how much power it had. I've heard 650 horsepower. I've heard all the way up to 850 horsepower. What you really need to know is the thing has a low 2 second 0 to 60 time, around 2.3 seconds, I believe. I think my motorcycle with a skilled rider can do about 2.5 seconds. So in theory, the thing is faster than my motorcycle. The one thing I would say about it is, since there's no shifting, you sort of lose a sense for the skill required to drive. In the P100D, you just put the pedal to the floor and the thing goes. It does all the work for you. All you gotta do is keep the steering wheel pointed straight. The other thing I noticed about launching this thing from a stop is that the traction control is excellent. There was no breakaway of the tires whatsoever, which is very surprising with a vehicle of that speed that it was able to successfully launch without breaking the tires away. The tires maintained traction the entire time. The vehicle has dual electric motor, one in the front and one in the back. And the thing with the electric motors is that the torque is always there. So you don't have this lag that you get from when you jam on the gas, from when you feel the power hit in a conventional gas-fueled vehicle. There's no lag with the engine. If you had a turbocharged vehicle like I do, there's no turbo lag where you have to wait a little bit for the turbo to spool up and then you get a big hit of power. As soon as you put the pedal to the floor, you get a big hit of power. Now, that being said, I mentioned previously that there's no control over the transmission of any sort from the user, but it does respond very well to user input on the accelerator. So one of the things that I was worried about with it being so powerful and me not being able to control any type of transmission, that it was going to be too powerful in, say, stop and go traffic. But that was not the case. The vehicle is very controllable if you want to go slow. And obviously, if you want to go fast, you can go fast. It was very fast launching from a stop. It was also very fast launching from a roll, say from about 20 miles per hour. There is no lack of speed. And the funny thing about, you know, just jamming on the gas pedal, if you watch videos on YouTube of people taking these vehicles to the track, they have a very consistent performance in the quarter mile time. Pretty much every single P100D does about 10.83 seconds in the quarter mile at about something at around 122 miles an hour. But if you watch one driver doing the same quarter mile over and over and over, his quarter mile time might change by about 1/100th of a second, and the speed almost doesn't change at all. And that's sort of the down aspect that I would say. The skill of the driver is sort of taken away. You can throw any random person into the P100D, and they can perform pretty well on the track as long as they can keep the steering wheel pointed in a straight line. Now, even more fun for me than pinning your passenger's head to the back of their seats is the autopilot feature. Now, the Tesla P100D has the most advanced iteration of the autopilot feature that currently exists with Teslas. Teslas have a series of cameras around the exterior of the vehicle, along with ultrasonic sensors around the perimeter of the vehicle, in the doors, in the front, in the rear, and it also has a radar system. All of these combine together to have the autopilot function correctly. Now, what the cameras are for, the cameras will spot the lines in the road. So one of the prerequisites of being able to use the autopilot feature is there has to be visible lines. This isn't going to work on an unpainted road. It's certainly not going to work on a dirt road or some type of off-road. You have to be on a well-established road with painted lines that the vehicle can see via the cameras. It looks well ahead, and if you have the console set up correctly for the vehicle, it will actually draw the road for you on the heads-up display based on the line that it sees, probably a good 200 or 300 feet out in front of the vehicle, as long as you have a clear line of sight and it's not obscured by other cars. So it is actually able to see the road fairly far ahead. Now, the other thing that it does is with the radar, it not only detects the car in front of it, it detects the car in front of the car in front of it, and possibly the car in front of that other car. So the Tesla is actually looking 2 to 3 cars ahead. The idea behind that is if there's a problem with the car in front of the car directly in front of you, that's the car that's going to cause problems. The car in front of you is probably responding to something that the car in front of it is doing. So if the car that is 2 cars ahead of you is doing something squirrely, the vehicle will actually alert. The autopilot may even disengage and have you take over, depending on the nature of what it's detecting. You are also able to tell the vehicle how many car lengths you want it to maintain between you and the car in front of you. You can set it to 1, 2, or 3. It will maintain that distance via radar. It's going to use the ultrasonic sensors to detect things that are closer to the vehicle, and those are going to be the primary aid in, yes, automatic parking, both parallel parking and back-in parking. I tested the autopilot function on one of the more major highways in the area that I live. It performed very well. That function is perfect, actually, for stop-and-go traffic, so that you, don't have to worry about what's going on in front of you. You can flip the autopilot on, let the car do the driving for you, do the pulling up, slowing down, stopping. You don't have to worry about paying that much attention to the car in front of you. Now, I say that, but the autopilot feature does require you probably about every 5 minutes to put some type of small input onto the steering wheel just so it knows that you're still awake. Yes, the autopilot does not allow you to go to sleep. If you were to fall asleep in the vehicle, you did not give it steering wheel micro inputs, the autopilot would then disengage, and then you would be responsible for the pursuant vehicle crash. Now, if for some reason the autopilot loses the lines in the road, the autopilot will switch off, but it then switches to what's called Traffic Smart Cruise Control. So the vehicle in Traffic Smart Cruise Control is not using the camera features to spot the road. It's not trying to maintain itself within the lane. However, it is detecting the traffic in front of you, and it is automatically adjusting speed and braking to account for the traffic in front of you. So all you have to do is steer, and then the vehicle will take care of the acceleration and braking by itself. The other thing the vehicle is going to do automatically for you is park. Now, the Tesla will detect when you are searching for a parking spot, and it'll see that through the ultrasonic sensors. Let's say you're driving through a parking lot. Well, what happens when you're driving through a parking lot? You are passing several cars while you're looking for a parking spot. With the Tesla, you drive a little bit closer than you would normally to the row of cars, and it'll see that you're driving past rows of cars. Once you come past a spot, it will detect the spot via the absence of a car. You keep pulling past the spot until it detects the next car on the other side of the parking spot, and then it has mapped out in its computer the size of the parking spot. An icon will pop up, and it will tell you that it's ready to park. You hit the parking icon on the computer screen, and then you hands off, and you let the thing park itself. It automatically knows the difference between a back-in parking spot and a parallel parking spot, and it will take care of that on its own. Now, it doesn't take too much internet searching for you to find videos on YouTube of the future state of the Tesla Autopilot. It's already in beta testing, where it has fully integrated route navigation and autopilot. So the future of it is where it's going to completely navigate the route for you. It's going to stop at stop signs, stop at red lights. It's going to detect other cars, obviously, and safely turn, maybe when it's doing a right on red. It'll take you all the way to your destination, hands off, and then you can get out of the car, and the car will circle the parking lot, finding a parking spot for itself, and park. Then when you're ready, when you're done shopping or whatever it is you want to do, you're done with work, you start to walk outside, you use your phone to summon the vehicle, and the vehicle will unpark itself, go to where you're at to pick you up, and then drive you home, which is pretty amazing to watch if you find that video on YouTube. And of course, the big question is, would I ever be interested in buying one? Now, from the power aspect, my motorcycle is extremely cheap compared to the Tesla P100D. My bike new is about $13,000. Compare that to $160,000 in order to gain, a couple fractions of a second off of the 0-60 time. I'm not that impressed from a performance standpoint compared to the motorcycle that I currently have. Now, it obviously is certainly impressive to have that power out of a car, but I already have that kind of power. I have that acceleration feeling. I wouldn't pay $160,000 for that alone. However, the autopilot function of the car really impressed me, and I was able to come up with a lot of scenarios in my mind where the autopilot would be used. I would use the autopilot probably more often than I would use the power in that vehicle. From that aspect, I would be very interested in buying one. Maybe not necessarily the P100D, however, the new Model 3s that they released, more affordable at about $30,000. Are going to have all of the hardware for the autopilot feature in it. Now, they're not all going to come programmed with the autopilot, but it's just a matter of telling the dealer that you want the autopilot feature turned on, and they will load the software for you for a fee. I've heard it's going to be about $500 to get the autopilot feature turned on. Now, just because I necessarily wouldn't feel like spending $160,000 on the P100D doesn't mean that I wouldn't spend $30,000 on the Model 3, but I do see the allure of the P100D. It was a lot of fun to drive. I had a good time driving it. If someone gave me one, I would definitely take it. It's a great, fun car. I'm jealous of the people that own one. It's not there for me as far as the money goes. Maybe if it was at a better price point, I'd consider it. But at this point, you know, I would have to get a P100D used or something to be interested in getting it for the money. However, the Model 3 with the autopilot feature at the price point that it's at still has a pretty aggressive 0 to 60 time. It's not in the 2-second range, but it's still pretty good as far as the cars out there go.